Welcome to the Reset Recharge podcast with your host, Dr. Komal Batil Sisodia, a board-certified endocrinologist, internist, and obesity medicine specialist. This podcast is focused on empowering women's health and aims to help you reset your understanding of your metabolic health and recharge the conversations you are having with your healthcare providers. While I am a physician, this podcast is purely for educational purposes. No individualized medical advice is being given on this podcast. If you do find information that is helpful, please discuss it with your healthcare provider at your next visit. Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Komal Batil Sisodia. Thank you so much for joining me for the second episode of Reset Recharge. Today, we are going to talk about the natural history of aging in women and why I think Mother Nature is not a feminist. And this is not really the most uplifting topic of the podcast, but I think it's important information for all of us to know as we start advocating for our health when we're meeting with our healthcare providers. So, what are the main takeaways that I want you to walk away with today? One, I want you to understand what happens with your hormones and how your different parts work, meaning your pituitary gland, your ovaries, your uterus. What are the different hormone changes that are happening throughout the course of your lifetime? Number two, what happens when our hormones start shifting in midlife? That I think is really important because that's really where we start to see symptoms. And the third thing that we're going to go through are what are the metabolic changes that are starting to happen when we hit midlife? And I think that's really, those are the three main points. If you walk away with an understanding of that, we have done our job on this episode. So now we will launch into what you need to know about reproductive health. I think the most important thing for women to know is that we are born with a set number of eggs. So when we are itty bitty tiny fetuses in the uterus, in medicine we call it in utero, so if I say that, that's what I mean, we don't have fully formed reproductive organs yet. That's really where they start developing. The ovaries will start developing follicles, and by week 20 in utero, we will have fully formed reproductive systems. And at that point, we have 6 to 7 million eggs in our ovaries. That's it, that's what you're born with. And the crazy part is that by the time we are born, that number has declined to 1 to 3 million. So even before we get out into the world, our egg count has dropped pretty significantly. So want you to walk away with that little nugget there. So then they continue to decline through the course of our life. And by the time we hit our menstrual periods, our average egg count is around 400,000. It's wild to think about. And by the time we are in our 30s, it has declined into the 100,000 range. So you can see that fertility declines over a period of time, and menopause happens when we run out of eggs. That's traditionally how it's been defined. I think it's a little bit more complicated and nuanced than that. But that is generally the way that we describe it to most people. So starting with an egg count of 6 to 7 million, decreasing while we're in utero, decreasing throughout our lifetime, and bottoming out when we hit menopause. And the ovaries are controlled by a gland in your brain that I call the remote control of most of your endocrine organs, and that's our pituitary gland. It is located directly in the center of your brain between your eyes, and it sends signals to various different endocrine organs, including your thyroid, your adrenal glands, your ovaries. For men, it sends signals to the testes in order to produce the hormones that each of these glands are responsible for. So what happens in a regular menstrual cycle once we start hitting our periods is that the signals from the brain that we call FSH and LH will cause different changes in the lining of our uterus, cause ovulation of eggs, and then if we have a fertilized egg that implants, that goes on to develop into a pregnancy. If we don't, then you just have another menstrual period and the cycle starts again. So to delve into the cycle a little bit more, I think it's important for women to understand that in science, we look at cycles based on 28 days, knowing that not everybody's cycle is 28 days. So for the purposes of demonstrating this, I'm gonna stick to the normal explanation of 28 days, but know that there can be variation in your cycles. So the first phase of the menstrual cycles are called your follicular phase. And that is where for the first 5 to 7 days, you're having your menstrual period. And after that, the estrogen starts to rise and FSH and LH, which are the signals from the pituitary gland, and they stand for follicle stimulating hormone and luteinizing hormone, those start to rise over time. And the whole reason the estrogen is rising is because it's trying to prepare the lining of the uterus in case there is an egg that gets fertilized and implants. And so towards day 14 of the cycle, which is the midpoint, theoretically, where most women ovulate, what we see is that the LH and the FSH spike up, the ovarian follicles will release an egg, and if that egg gets fertilized, then it will implant. And in the second half of the menstrual cycle, which we call the luteal phase, what happens is the progesterone starts to rise because it needs to prepare that lining for the potential of a fertilized egg. And so it does that by making it a more hospitable environment. And if the egg is fertilized and implants, then the progesterone continues to rise and you will theoretically go into a pregnancy. But if it doesn't, then the progesterone level drops and that lining starts shedding at the end of that next 14-day period, which is the first day of the subsequent cycle, which is the menstrual period. So that is how overall those cycles work. And if you think about it, we go through more hormonal shifts in 1 month than we can even fathom, right? I mean, I just talked about 4 hormones going up and down. We didn't even really touch on the fact that ovaries produce testosterone because we haven't really studied what that does in women effectively. So I think it's important to understand that piece of it. We are constantly going through hormonal shifts. And then you throw pregnancy and postpartum period into the mix, and it's even more hormonal shifts. What happens as our eggs decline over our lifetime is at some point they bottom out, and that is when we hit what's called midlife, interchangeably used as perimenopause transition. When your periods stop, that's called menopause. But that in that entire section of your life, things start to shift even more. So I think it's important to understand now what's happening to the estrogen and progesterone levels. And what we see is that as the egg counts decline, the estrogen levels and the progesterone levels also start to decline. And menstrual cycles become more irregular because you don't have enough of those hormones to do what they were doing when you were having periods. And then eventually they bottom out and things just stop flowing. No pun intended. Sorry, that was really bad. Sorry. I have to get over myself there for a second.
That was so good.
Okay, we might leave that in there for your enjoyment or put it at the end for bloopers. Okay, so now that we have walked through what you need to know about your reproductive parts, the basics, the hormonal shifts, not all of it, because it's a much more complicated, nuanced thing that I'm simplifying it to, and we're going to build this in stages through each of the different episodes. Now we also know what's happening to our hormones in midlife and what defines that midlife period in general terms. Now I want you to get an understanding of what are the metabolic changes that start happening during that phase of our life. So the way that I describe it to my patients is that if you look at this purely from a biologic or Mother Nature perspective, when we are not reproducing consistently, we're not contributing to the gene pool. So Mother Nature sees us as not really helping her out. And when our estrogen and progesterone levels are declining, and likely our testosterone levels as well, she's ready to exit us out from the system. Not really a happy thought. And that's why I think she's not really a feminist. If you look at all of the metabolic changes that start happening in that time period, we see that women start to lose their ability to hold on to muscle mass. We start gaining fat mass, which, you know, everybody complains about. You hear complaints about, oh, I'm gaining weight around my middle, I'm not as strong as I used to be. Those are metabolic shifts that start tanking your metabolism. We know through data and research that muscle mass is really important to maintain your basal metabolic rate. So if these shifts in hormones cause you to lose your muscle mass, that's problematic. And what we see happening after that is that blood pressure starts to go up, cholesterol starts to grow up. Blood sugars will also start to go up. And a lot of that is because when you gain weight around your middle, that extra fat tissue packs inside your abdominal cavity and doesn't just lay under your skin like it would on your arms or legs. And what we've found that when there's fat inside the abdominal cavity, that's what we call visceral fat. And that creates insulin resistance and blood sugars rise. So what we're seeing is we have three things that are going to increase our risk of heart disease, stroke, and diabetes. That's not really exciting. The other thing that happens because we're losing muscle mass is that bone density starts to decline. So our bones become more brittle and we are at increased risk for developing a fracture. One of the worst statistics we have in medicine is that after the age of 75, if you sustain a hip fracture, if you fall and you break your hip, the mortality rate, meaning the rate of death from that hip fracture, can be as high as 50%, depending on what your, what we call functional status is, like how strong you are, how hardy you are. And I have seen many patients over the course of my career, unfortunately, meet their demise after going through a hip fracture. So we try to be very proactive about managing that. In addition to that, because the list is not done yet, women will also start having more difficulty sleeping at night, either because they can't fall asleep or stay asleep. The other thing that can impair sleep are hot flashes that tend to happen at night, but can also happen anytime during the day. And then the pelvic floor gets weaker because we're not able to hold on to muscle mass, and all of the pelvic floor musculature starts weakening. And that can lead to a whole host of other issues like urinary incontinence, urinary tract infections, vaginal dryness, pain with intercourse. All of these things have a profound impact on our quality of life. So it's really important for us to know what it is we have to watch for, because if we don't, we're just going to keep having the same conversation, right? I mean, you see so many jokes and memes on social media about aging. You know, over Christmas, I remember watching all these videos of people sitting down to wrap presents and then joking about how they can't get back up. Forgot to mention one more. Our joints start having issues in the form of osteoarthritis. So all of these different things start building. And what we see is quality of life declines, longevity starts declining. But, you know, one of the things that I think is interesting to note is just even 3-4 generations ago, our ancestors were not living as long as we were, or we are. We have science and technology and all this medical advancement that has extended our lifespans. So previously, when people were living maybe to 60, 65, that was a shorter period from, you know, potentially your periods ending at 55 to have to go through all of these symptoms. Now we're looking at another 30, 40, 50 years from when our periods stop. And I really want women to be empowered to know what to look for so that you can start intervening early and have a better quality of life moving forward. So those are the things that I want you to know. The other thing that I think is really important is that you have to know your family history. Your family history and your genetics will dictate what your menopause looks like. And it looks different for everyone. We are all so different in terms of our genetics, and what one friend has may not be what another friend has, may not be what another friend has. There's even variation within families. So know your family history. So the things that I tell my patients that they can do to empower themselves and that I want you to know about is, one, know that perimenopause can start as early as your mid-30s. Some women start feeling those changes really, really early on. And unfortunately, because of not having great data in this area, we have been dismissive of women's concerns over that time period. Number two, pay attention to any symptoms that you could be developing. You live in your body every single day. You know how things feel. You know when things are shifting. So pay attention to your bodies. And number three, when you go and see your healthcare provider, speak up, ask questions. Make sure that you're advocating for yourself, because we are at a time right now, like we talked about in the last episode, that we are 20 years post the Women's Health Initiative hormone therapy trials. We have not done a great job for advocating for women when they're going through these changes. That gets to change now with you becoming more empowered about your health and having these conversations with your healthcare providers. So that wraps up our episode today. I went through a lot of information, and I would like you to feel free to go over to my website, to the contact page. The website is www.resetrecharge.com, and put in a question that you may have had that came up from this episode. What I'd like to do is make sure that any future episodes, we can either have an entire spin-off episode or answer these questions that are coming up so that I can give you more information, because information is power, ladies, and this is the time to take our power back and make sure that we are keeping autonomy over our own bodies. So thank you for joining me today. Our next episode will be about breaking down the Women's Health Initiative hormone therapy trials. I hope you will join me for that, and I'm really excited to see you there. Thank you. Bye.